You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. On a Monday, Mike McNamara, All Marine Radio. Michael Musselman joins us, talking to all our friends on a global basis, people listening in Africa. What's up? And Gunners in Texas. So, Mike Musselman, how was your weekend?
The center of the universe.
This Texas.
I'm not saying it's just wherever I'm located.
Trust me, we know. It's called an egocentric universe.
See, there you go again.
What?
We talked about this before the show.
No,
it's... That'd be nice.
That is nice. It's simply what it's called. It's like where I am, it's the center of the universe. It's where I am. Like,
I get it.
It's not a
bad... It's like a motivated speaker type thing.
No, it's a fact of life. That's how I live my life. Egocentric. Wherever I am, what could be more important than what's going on right here, right now? Answer? Nothing. Absolutely, positively nothing.
You know, where else can you go? Hey, right now. Right now, where can you go and get the advice on political, relationships, handguns, I mean, cooking? All within, we're here, two guys.
Relationships. Yeah,
relationships.
Who else is going to give you stripper dating advice? Where are you going to hear that?
Or just dating advice altogether. How to deal with women. How to cook a brisket. How to make homemade tortillas.
When to use an alias.
How to train with a gun. How to buy a gun. You know, everything, dude. I mean, yard work. How to do landscaping.
Did you finish off your landscaping over the weekend?
The front, yes. Now to the back.
How big is your piece of property? Is it an acre?
Yeah, it's about an acre.
Oh. You're going to have to, that's going to be a big landscaping bill as you get older and stop doing yard work.
No, it's not a big landscaping bill. I mean, it's about $150 a month.
Landscaping? That's what you're paying? Well, you know what? What stupid... I forget you're in the top quarter of the top 1% of wage earners in Hood County.
We live in a state that doesn't rip you off like California. I know everything in California, you got to remember, everything in California, you know, your gas is more, everything's more, your cost of living's more. Not here in Texas, man. Not true.
That's
the dollar goes a little bit further.
That is true. He's not lying about that.
Everything in California, man.
But we're talking about landscaping and budgeting in retirement when you got an acre. That's not a small deal. That's like you're going to be paying some money for that, bro.
What's with this bro thing? What is going on?
We're bros, bro. This...
Okay.
Look, you like to throw around.
We're brother.
You like
we're
to throw,
brothers in arms.
You,
we are.
You like to throw around.
Dude,
you like to throw around, dude. Dude.
Dude?
Yeah.
That's not me. That's Luke.
No, that's you. Don't even bring Luke up. He's in trouble. He's in timeout corner. Okay?
I stopped dipping Copenhagen.
Right. Really? When?
Yeah.
This morning?
No, 2 days ago.
And Tina
hasn't... But I'm quitting.
Tina hasn't gone and bought you a roll of it and said, here.
Not yet. She may have like a.
Please dip.
She may have an emergency roll stashed somewhere.
So how many times.
The first comment.
How many times you think you.
Her first comment was. Well, no, listen. Her first comment was when I told her, she's like, oh, great. These next 10 days are going to be just fantastic.
10?
Like, what? Yeah.
All right.
It's the, you know, detox, man.
Is it
10 days?
Is it only 10 days?
If I can get through these days, yeah. Then that's the hard part, really.
No kidding. Right. I thought it was longer than that. That's why so many people, you know, one of the funny things.
No, for me, it's about 10 days.
One of the funny things in the Marine Corps is that, all the guys who bar a dip, right? Hey man, can I bum a dip? And then, you know, the standard response is, oh, you're quitting? Yeah, I'm quitting. I quit 2 years ago.
I quit by my own.
All right, hold on. Oh, there's some country music for you. From this last weekend.
2-0 pitch. Grounded to short. Scooped up by Simeon. It's a no-hitter.
I can't hear it.
It's a no-hitter.
Oh, got it.
Sean Manaea has no-hit the hottest team in baseball. An absolutely sensational performance.
Yeah. I can't hear it, man. Can't hear it. No, I'm sorry. It's all static.
The Red Sox.
Why are you laughing? I'm being serious.
The Red Sox got no hit on what, Saturday night?
Yeah, as you know what, and this is what cracked me up when I saw the text. Armand Chatterman, what did he say?
I can't remember.
A no-no. There's only one announcer that uses that because no one really uses that word, right? Oh, they got a no-no. And so I was like, oh, he's been just watching the news and got that tip to say that. And then he came like, looks like they're in a no-no. So I'm like, oh, yeah, see?
The hottest team in baseball got cooled off on Saturday night, got a no-hitter thrown at them. Then they lost again Sunday. Do you think the wheels are coming off the Red Sox empire right now?
Well, the wheels are coming off to put a new set of tires on, yeah. It's like NASCAR, brother.
Just reload tires. Email. Matt, can we go back to Gunner's technique for quitting dipping? I've tried a lot of things. I can't quit. I resolve myself to the fact that I'm going to need a dip when they put me in the casket. What's your technique for quitting, Mike?
Well, I don't want to come across and sound like I'm an ass. Right off of that. So I'm just saying that, okay?
We appreciate that.
But I'm a different type of person. I am a very strong-willed. I mean, I am in control of me. So for me to quit, it's just simply I just quit. Does that make sense?
That you have such command over what you are.
Yeah.
And things like that.
I just tell my brain, we're going to quit, and then they quit.
And it works? How many times have you quit in your life?
A few times.
Okay. So, and then when you went back to it, was because you couldn't sustain the commitment you had made to quit? Or you simply changed your mind?
No, because it was another casualty of the war.
Oh, so.
War made me. Yeah.
Combat made.
War brought me back in the fold.
Combat made you dip?
Yep. Because the sheer boredom of it, you know?
You had to do something.
So you're out there, you're freaking away from everybody.
Nothing to do.
Yep. Nothing to do, nothing to see. So you resort to dipping again.
Okay, I'm going to ask this before somebody emails it. If you're in the middle of nowhere doing nothing, how does one get dip, Mike? How do you get dip when you're on the other side of the planet in the middle of nowhere?
The mail. So I don't get, is that like a trick question? The mail.
No, it's not a trick. But people want to know how it's a pair. It's
the mail, and then
it's tobacco.
Before you go, yeah, you get you always take a bunch before you go. I mean, I always had a couple extra cans with me.
So how? So with your dip consumption, what was your dip consumption rate when you're deployed? How often? How fast do you go through a can?
Probably there's sometimes a can a day, cans a day.
Is that sharing with other people? Because you have to share. Can you say no?
Oh yeah.
Like Montana man rolls in and says, "Hey man, can I bum a dip?" Oh, you're quitting too.
Yeah,
you have to.
No, you got
to
do that. Yeah, that's a no shitter, man. You can't you can't blackball someone when it comes to dip, dude.
So, if you looked up and said, "Sorry, I don't share my dip," what would happen?
Oh, I can't even imagine someone doing that. That's like, I mean, if someone said that, you're like, would you just start? Excuse me. Did you just start dipping? No, why? Because only fools would say something like that, dude. You like, are you kidding me? No, man, no. I mean, I think that, maybe it's been said. Never, I've never heard it myself. Yeah, no way, dude.
Here's another. Dipping is a popular subject. There's like three more emails. Mac, will you ask Mike what brought this on? Yeah, what brought this on? Are you trying to be healthier? What brought this on?
Yeah, I'm trying to be healthier. I want to be healthier. You've been ragging my ass about PT, so I started the PT, and now I want to start that.
No, you didn't. You started the garden, and then you told me it was PT. There's a difference.
No, I've been starting the PT. Like I said, I want to get back on the bike, so I'm doing that stuff right now.
Yeah.
It's like, fucking Mac.
The bike.
The only way to get
so Mike doesn't, to get Mike Mac doesn't ride. Back. Mike has like three bikes that cost each like $8,000, $15,000, and $20,000 a piece. Okay. He doesn't ride any of them.
And he won't give you one.
Yeah, he won't give me one. And then he says to me,
I'm
in the hospital, Mac. What are you doing in the hospital? And then Buck is in there and Tina's in there. And I start yelling about PTing. It's because you don't PT, man. And Tina says, that's what I told him. And then he says, hey, I might need a kidney. Right? So he won't give me a bike. Yes. He asked me for a kidney, and I said, yeah, man, if I'm your type, you can have one of my kidneys. See, that's how this relationship is. That's what sucks about it. So you're trying to be healthier. Why are you trying to be healthier?
Oh, so I don't need a kidney from you, so you don't keep holding over my head.
That's a good reason.
That's a great reason.
That's a good reason. Next email. What kind of dip is the gunner? Is he a Copenhagen guy like the rest of us? Mike?
Yes, I'm a Copenhagen guy. Mike. I've dipped Copenhagen my entire life.
When did you start and how did you start?
Man, I started probably when I was 13, 14 years old.
Oh, really? Your dad? Your friends? What?
No. Just experimenting on a school bus, going to school.
Being cool.
What's that? Yeah. What's that?
Being
That's
cool.
Snuff. What's snuff?
No,
we didn't know.
How did you rode the bus to school every day?
When you're in middle school, yeah. You can't drive yet.
Well, I don't know. Maybe you walked or your parents took you.
No, dude. We rode the bus.
So
the back of the bus. I was the back of the bus school rider.
Where you spent your entire life, right? Back of the bus, back of the classroom.
Yeah, because that's where all the clowns were.
Yeah, it's where the good times. It's like detention. Every funny person in school is in detention. It is really
in the back of the bus or in the back of the class.
All right, next email. Did Mike ever treat his Copenhagen with anything? Brandy, whiskey? Did he put anything in it? So you didn't do any of that stuff?
Oh, put it in?
Yeah, your dip.
Oh, you mean, I thought you meant substitute.
No,
like,
no,
did
no,
I start drinking
No,
more?
A lot of guys.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Oh, really? What was your you mix in with your Copenhagen?
Shit, man. I was like, I would buy a whole can. This is before they had long cut, you know, regular long cut. All they were making back then was just the, you know, the worm dirt, you know, the real fine stuff.
Right.
So what I would do is I would buy a can. I'd buy the can. I'd come home. I'd open the can up and let it dry out. I'd lay it right in the sun and purposely let it dry out.
Really?
And then I would take, these small little cubes of apple, freshly cut apple, and I'd put it inside there with a cap full of Jim Beam.
Whoa.
And then put it back in and throw it in the refrigerator and let it rehydrate. You know, that apple makes it juicy. And dude, that, and then let it sit for like a day like that and then dip it the next day. Oh, so good.
I wanted, listen
so
to this.
So good. It's like dip dessert. It's like a banana sponsor for a dip. It's like the grand, you know, topping of a good day dipping. You come back to dip dessert dip.
That is so not true. I grew up right around baseball, and all I wanted to do was be able to dip or chew so I could spit like all those baseball players do. So I'd be sitting, this one, when I was a little guy, I could sit in the dugout during the games in minor league, like Birmingham, Alabama and Mobile, Alabama. And like I was 10, 9 years old. And what did those guys do the whole game? They would have this huge pool of tobacco spit. And I was like, that's the coolest. That and metal spikes, the sound of metal spikes on concrete, I still, to this day, I love. And so I don't know, my dad wouldn't let me chew. So, and he chewed all the time. He chewed leaf, though. And then he started dipping when he got older. But I tried to put tobacco, I put tobacco in my mouth. It was beech nut leaf, and I got sick. I got dizzy. Oh, man, it was just the worst feeling when you don't navigate the juice well.
Right.
So I just couldn't chew leaf tobacco. So he's then with the Padres, probably 1974. I'm 14. A guy named Dave Tomlinson pitched for the Reds and then Padres. He's like, hey, why don't you dip? So he offers me dip. And I would take it, and the smell of it used to almost make me puke. But I wanted to dip because that's what cool guys did. And
right.
But I always struggled with it. I could never get over that. This stuff's going to make me puke. And it tastes like garbage, though. It's awful.
Hey, don't be slamming on it.
It's awful. And let me tell you, and I wanted to in the worst way. But good God.
Yeah.
And I'd do it driving cross country or something like that where you're trying to stay awake and whatnot. I would do it and I would take it and when I'd put it in my mouth, I'd almost puke. And then once I'd get it in, I'd be fine. But is it hard to quit? If you can make it past 10 days, are you good?
Shit, yeah. It's really hard to quit.
So, but once you get past 10 days, do you feel it calling you like a smoker when they smell smoke and things like that?
No, I don't feel it. I don't feel that desire at all. So, yeah, that's if I can make it, dude. If I can make it.
One day at a time. Email. Hey, Mac, what's the longest period the Gunners quit for, Mike?
Oh, 7 years.
Woo! What made you go back? Combat? Pressure?
Combat? War?
Pressure of combat?
Yeah.
You should say the pressure of combat, not the boredom. Okay, because it truly is pressure. You know, hey.
No, it is. It's both.
Hey, Gunner, you want a dip? Like, why am I saying no, man? Yeah, of course I want
all
a
right,
dip.
Hey, did you just get the pictures that I just sent you?
Where did you? Oh, I got a text message. No, I haven't got it. Send it to, which phone number did you send it to?
Your personal.
Oh. That's in the other room.
Oh, they're still loading, too. So.
Okay. Gents, I quit 2 years ago after 28 years. I finally said, fuck it. It's time, and I don't want to be weak. I'm still dip-free. I quit a couple of times over the years, but a dad dying or some other stressful situation, I began again. But been without it for so long now, I don't miss it at all. Be strong, Gunner.
Oh yeah, I'm not worried about it. I mean, I'll beat it. That's easy, man.
You see, you didn't understand. He's a strong man, okay? He's not a weak man.
I'm in control of my
He is master of his own domain, as they said in the Seinfeld episode about masturbation. Dip supply. Converted from Skoll to Copenhagen, quote unquote cow manure, in January 1991 when I ran out of Skoll. One of our radar tech Marines hooked me up with a whole roll of Cope. I had written U.S. Tobacco Company about our supply issue, and they sent him a big box of rolls of Copenhagen. He was a hero. Broke the bike out yesterday for the first post-winter ride. Much easier on the knees than running. What kind of PT do you do? Are you getting on your bike again or what? That's not easy to do when you've been off the bike for a while.
Oh, yeah. Trust me, man. My legs are freaking killing me right now. No, I just slowly been getting on the bike. I have the stationary, you know, the motion trainer.
Yeah.
So I just put it up there.
Are you a mountain bike guy? Are you a road bike guy?
I went back and forth. I was a road bike guy, and then I went to mountain bikes, and then I went back to road bikes.
All right. You prefer road bikes. Why?
Because I like the, you know, there's something about just when you get, you know, I ride with earphones on or earbuds,
right.
Music, and you just kind of just zone out, but you're like just cruising straight. Whereas a mountain bike, it's so hard because it's so technical. You know, you're riding, you got to control yourself. I mean, I crashed 10 times more on a mountain bike when I was riding than I did a road bike. But I will tell you, crashing on a road bike hurts more than a mountain bike.
I just crashed about, I don't know, a month and a half ago. I decided because there was some road construction, I would hop on the sidewalk and go down the stretch.
Oh,
I adjusted my hands.
What a rookie move,
I know. I adjusted my hands.
Rookie.
I moved left. The handlebar hits the cyclone fence. I bounce to the right. I overcorrect back to the left. I hit it a second time. I'm fighting it. I think, I bounce. I correct a third time. Hit the fence. Boom. Done.
Down. Why didn't you just ride in the road?
Man down. And guess what? I landed on my cell phone, my new cell phone. That thing's.
Well, why didn't you just ride in the road?
Because it was one lane. It was one lane with road construction and cars coming on.
Yeah?
And not all cars are respectful of bikes. You know that.
But you know what?
What?
It's better to be hit. If you're going to go down, it's much better to go down after being hit by a car. You know why?
Why?
Because they replace the bike.
Only if they stop.
It doesn't. No, dude. You know, it's so easy. You know, I'd never had someone hit and run. It'd just be stupid.
Well, I'm going to tell you, if you've ridden bikes in rural America, is not always cool with bike riders. It's not like riding in San Clemente where, you know, it's the California lifestyle, bike lanes, right? In California,
they're stupid, though.
Rural people, they don't like bikes.
No, but in California, I'd rather be in rural when they don't like you than the fact that in San Clemente, where they don't even see you.
I know, but you're in a bike lane, so they can't touch you. Look,
do you know where all my back accidents took place when I was in San Clemente?
Pacific Coast Highway.
No.
San Clemente.
On the little back stretch there, you know, by the pier, as you cut through the town where the bike lanes are built.
Right.
But I was in the bike lane. Every one of them involved a girl. All but three of them involved a woman in a Mercedes, and they were all in their mid-20s, and they were all texting or on the phone, and they thought they had the right of way. They cut in front of me. like I said, one lady, you hit me. I said, how did I hit you? You turned into me. She's like, well, I had the right of way. I said, how do you think, what?
Because you're a bike.
How do you figure?
You don't have the same rights that a car does.
Well, no, you know what her answer was?
What?
Because I'm bigger.
That's right, you see. You don't have the same rights.
The car's bigger. Yeah. That's how do you argue in stupidity like that? That's classical, you just look at her and you wait for the police to show up. And then she wants to keep talking about it. And I just shut up about it. Don't even want to talk. Because you can't. Your motor vehicle. So a semi has the right of way every time because he's bigger.
It's called the laws of physics, Mike. So when you ride in your mind, are they supposed to give way, or do you say, no, these people are not going to give way, and I need to be on my J-O-B? How do you view the planet as a bike rider?
Oh, yeah, same thing. I'm very defensive
rider
when I'm riding the bike.
Yeah, it happens so often, honestly, people cutting in, people that don't see you. I would imagine it's the same. I'm not a motorcycle guy, but I imagine the same same way that they have to ride if they want.
When I had a bike,
if they want to live,
I used to ride a bike when I was younger. Mine, they were the same way. If they wanted your lane, they just turn into it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they give you the oh shoot, I'm sorry hand gesture, like I didn't see you there.
See, that's the thing about a motorcycle that is all I've always been respectful of. You can get dead because you're defenseless. You can get dead, and it's not even anything close to being your responsibility.
Oh yeah, you could get dead quick.
Yeah, that's a bad thing about motorcycles. Another email. Hey Mac, you guys seem to give Montana Man a pretty rough ride. Why is that? I don't.
Is that Montana Man emailing us?
No, it's somebody else. I don't give Montana Man a rough ride.
No, we don't.
He got a rough ride last week because of his leadership failure relative to a chaplain.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he deserved that.
And he deserved that because it's true.
Yeah.
And he will admit.
You only get what you deserve on this show.
Yep.
We don't go out of the way. Yeah. We are an equal opportunity ass slamming. We will. Yeah, we hold no punches.
Yeah.
We don't discriminate against race, creed, nothing, religion.
Right. They're all.
You deserve it?
They're all worthless.
You deserve it.
Right. Just like Gunny Hartman, they're all worthless.
Yeah.
That about that. Text message. Mac, what about that kid in Tennessee that grabbed that rifle? How about that for some serious shit? Yeah. Good on that
kid. Yeah.
That's awesome.
He's a hero. Yeah, and that's what we need more of. It's like, hello. That was a good move, man.
Oh.
Shit, he's probably going to eat free forever at Waffle House.
You think
now
so?
He'll die in 3 years if he does that.
Going in the Waffle House at 3:25 in the morning, and you walk into that, and then, he said he didn't have a choice, right? In some of the things that he said, I think I think he was either interviewed this morning or whatnot, but he said, I didn't think I had a choice. I grabbed it. But you know what? I'd be curious about your thoughts about this, Mike, because you teach and you teach awareness and whatnot.
Just did it this weekend.
Okay. So we'll talk about it. If you don't.
Well, we talk handgun, though, this weekend, too. Yeah.
Well, if you don't have in your head that this could happen to you and what you're going to look to do other than run, how do you, what do you tell people that, preparing for this kind of thing that is, obviously unanticipated, the probability that it's going to happen to you in your own mind is pretty low. Yet you're confronted. You have to, mentally, the first thing you have to do, I think, is you have to consider it that what would I do if this happened to me? And give, but how do you, your thoughts on it? How do you mentally prepare yourself in a culture where this is probably not going to happen to you?
Well, first of all, what I teach my class and what we start talking about, and these are women. So when I first started teaching them about this, It was very strange for them, and you should see their faces light up. Like, but then they get it. Where I use General Mattis's old comment or quote is, "Have a plan to kill every person you meet." And so, you know, they were kind of shocked by that. But when I started describing what that really meant, you know, what I'm not teaching you to do is you're not going up going, "I'm going to slit their throat" or "I'm going to do this." No, it's just a mindset you want to be in, that anybody can be a potential threat. And you've got to have a plan. What is your plan? You know, and we walk through that kind of stuff. And it's mindset. It's mindset. It's mindset. It's getting your head into a survival type mode. And, you know, and we talk about, we don't speak the language of losers. You know, that we say that. And that's a business thing too, but language of losers is using the words like if and but and, you know, the whole, but we could do it this way, or if we would have done it this way. You want to start building that confidence in them right away. And that's what we've done. And a lot of them have come a long way. You know, you can see it in them. And, but they do, they have a plan. They know what's going on. And that plan could, and we talk about it, that plan could be either fight or flight, but it's never freeze. You know, we're never going to freeze. But that's simple. You go through that whole process, and it's mindset. It's not training, it's mindset. It's believing in it. So, we talked ad nauseum about John Boyd's OODA loop, too.
Talk about it.
You know,
explain.
The OODA loop process?
Yeah, explain explain the OODA loop, and then how you use it and what you teach.
Well, when we teach, okay, so John Boyd, Air Force fighter pilot back in the 50s, came up with this whole decision-making process, and it's OODA, O-O-D-A, observe, orient, decide, and act. What we've done is we've actually broken down even further. So what we throw in there is a perception, the P into the D and the A. You're perceiving something happen. After you do this, this is what's going to happen. They're going to do this, this, and this, and this, and then you go through that. So it's just decision making. So you're always observing, you're orienting your body, you're looking around, you're making decisions, and you're acting on them. And it's a never ending cycle. But when we throw in perception in there, so perceive is if you start seeing things that are going to go wrong, you're perceiving them to go out like this, and then we act on them and we move away from it. But most of the time we create time, space, and distance. You know, that's what we talk about. How can you get more distance, more time to make better decisions, more space, to make better decisions. And it's always that. And then the last resort, you know, the 1% that we exert all our energy to is, you know, applying lethal force.
Why do you use the word lethal instead of deadly?
Well, what do you mean?
Well, most people would say use deadly force. You say lethal. Why?
Well, just because it's a mindset.
What's the difference between deadly and lethal? Why would you not?
Deadly doesn't play well in the court system, man.
Oh, it doesn't?
No, you want to stay away from, the connotation of it is, it's perceived more of a negative, you know, deadly force versus lethal force. So, it's something that I've always talked about in there. It's how it's perceived.
Got it. Do you teach it any different than you teach deadly force?
No, same thing. Actually, I even use the deadly force, you know, for definition when I'm talking about lethal force. So, really, it just comes out to, you know, it's just the way it plays out.
Got it.
Yeah, you know, if you can do it, it's fine.
Let me just read This, yeah, I haven't seen this guy's interviews that he's done this morning yet. Guy's name is Shaw. James Shaw Jr. He and a friend were out at a nightclub, and they went to a Waffle House. It was crowded. It was crowded. So they went to a second one. They sat down at the restaurant when a loud crashing sound rang out. At first, Shaw said he thought a dishwasher had knocked some plates over. It quickly became clear what was happening. Bullets pierced the restaurant's windows. A man collapsed on the floor. Waiters ran. Shaw and his friend, Mr. McMurray, raced to the hallway outside the restrooms, taking cover behind a swinging door. As the gunman entered the Waffle House to continue shooting, Shaw recounted in an interview with Good Morning America that he looked for a moment to fight back. That, quote, there's no running from this, he recalled thinking
good,
to him.
Good idea.
Yeah, he recalled thinking to himself, I'm going to have to try to find some kind of flaw or point in time where I could make it work for myself. During a sudden break in the firing, Shaw sprinted through the doors as fast as he could, slamming into the gunman, knocking him to the ground. He grabbed the rifle, tossed it over the restaurant counter. The gunman, Travis Rainkeen, who's I guess the nut, he was arrested outside the White House. His weapons have been confiscated because of mental health issues, and I guess he's had incidents relative to Taylor Swift. He then ran away.
Yeah.
And it talked about him going to the emergency room and seeing some of the victims of the shooting and speaking to them, talking about somebody had set up a GoFundMe page for him, Mr. Shaw, and he talked about donating that money to the people that had been actually shot. He was grazed by a bullet. And the picture I think that a lot of people have seen of his forearm, that is because of a burn from the barrel to his arm. So, wow. Mike,
it's awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome. It is, no, and it's a great example. I mean, obviously, for four people who were killed there and their families, our thoughts and prayers. But that number could have been a whole lot higher were it not for him. And so, God bless.
Yeah,
them.
Yeah. When people intervene like that, yeah.
Right.
You know, so you know, it's the same thing where you've got to understand. You know, it's a whole, and I've said this before. I can't remember what I was teaching, but you know, when we talk about, hey, someone could die. You know, you could die if you do this. If you go out and you try and defend and you fight, you can die. But okay, so there's that but. But if you don't, everybody's going to die. If someone doesn't do anything, a whole lot more people are going to die. So it comes into that, you know, for the greater good, you know, this is a gentleman who actually did it where he put his life on the line. He put his ass in the game, you know, and I mean, he didn't have to. And he could have just been another, you know, innocent bystander, a sheep running for cover. But, you know, I could tell people, people are going to die. Granted, you could die. But if you don't do anything, everybody could die. And, you know, it's the whole, and you may do something and everybody end up dying anyway. That's just the way it goes. But at least you have a chance. You're throwing the dice, you know? You're not just walking in and they're just taking your money. You're giving your money freely. You're throwing the dice.
Yeah. Again, you're talking reminds me of my discussion with Colleen about school shootings. In that, you know, if that shooter is in proximity to you, you're probably going to die, and you need to fight. You know, not only for yourself,
yeah.
But not only for yourself. And it's not like, hey, throw the chair out the window and then run. It's throw the chair out the window, get through the window, and then help other people get through the window. It's you're not there by yourself. You're a part of something bigger, and you need to help.
Or grab the guy and push him through the window.
Or something, right? I mean, but just getting in, in your head. And for us, it's easy. I won't say it's easy, but when you've been trained to react a certain way during a crisis, it's just in you. I mean, my kids used to talk to me about, why do you always pull over after a car accident? You know, and I don't mean one that's been there for 15 or 20 minutes. I mean, like, it happens in front of you. I remember a kid got hit in a bike and launched, right? And I pulled up on the sidewalk, through the car and parked. My kids were in the car. You know, and I take off running through an intersection. You know, all the stuff, you know, when you have first aid skills and you're not afraid, I mean, what are you going to do, drive away? And so I remember when the day the kid got hit, the back wheel of his bike got clipped and he got launched through the air. He winds up landing on a grass median. I mean, God was with this kid that day. Because you know what? If there's a difference of 5 feet, the car hits his bike, his head slams on the hood of the car, he's dead.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Right, and then
easy.
Yeah, the way life works, it hit clips his back wheel, launches him through the air. He lands on the grass, you know, and hops straight up, and you know, scared shitless. But it was when we drove away, you know, it's an interesting conversation with your kids. Like, well, would you want me to just keep going and not help? Like, I know, yeah, Dad, that's so scary though. Like, well, yeah, it is, but, you know, you can get over your fear, you know, and especially if you know you can help. But I would think that would be most people would continue driving. Most people don't go to help because they're scared, Mike. They're scared.
Mm-hmm.
And I think so the start of helping is sitting there and mentally considering that this could happen to me, and I need, as this kid said, I need to have a plan.
Go through... You know, like I said, I've gone through scenarios with the gals, and we talk about them, you know. And, you know, as we go through the grocery store, we're talking about these things, you know. So we're always interacting. And, you know, a lot of times, like I said, it starts with either talking to somebody, you know, just getting them out. Because if they're not willing to talk to somebody. If you see something wrong, that's always driving me crazy. I see something wrong, are you willing to step in? You know, and I've seen people, like, watch people, like, something's happening or something's wrong, and they're not going to say anything.
Right.
And, you know, it's like, oh, it drives you crazy. And you're like, but you're willing to let that person walk into, well, it's none of my business, or maybe they think I'm stupid if I brought that up, or, you know, maybe I'm perceived, I see it's different, you know, maybe they like it that way, or whatever.
Right.
You know, whatever their excuses for never have jump in, and it's like, no. You know, I had a conversation. Did I tell you this? I was at the grocery store, and there was a lady in front of me, and she had two kids. One was real small, and the other one was like walking. And she was probably, 25 years old, right? And a good-looking gal. I mean, but two kids. And I'm sitting here watching her interact with her kids and try and shop and check out, which is a task.
Right.
I mean, I felt bad. So I'm behind her, and, you know, so I'm watching her, and finally she looks at me, make eye contact, and I'm smiling, and I said, can I ask you a question? She's like, sure. And I said, I don't want to make this sound like, you know, I'm kind of weird or creepy or anything, but here's my card. Here's what I do. You know, so I talked to these women about this and this and this and this. So she was kind of like, and I said, can I give you some advice? And she's like, yeah, absolutely. You know, and I said, I can tell by looking at your cart that it's just you three, that you're a single mother. And she's looking at me and like, what? And I said, well, and you're not as focused as you need to be. And I get it. You got two little kids, but you need to be like your purse. I noticed a couple times you were well away from your purse, like 12 steps, maybe 15 steps away from your purse. And, you know, like I said, the stuff you're buying tells me that, again, it's only you and these two kids. And, you know, you got to be cautious when you don't know who's watching. she was like floored, like, oh my God, you know, you're right. I didn't know that. Okay. And so, you know, so I told her, I said, here's where we meet with these women, and you can meet other women. And that's like the women that come, we had like 5 new women that showed up this weekend. And they like it with the, just the women because they can lower their guard, you know, because when there's men there, they got to act a different way or a certain way. Or maybe the husband is like giving them advice too, you know, and it's like, and that's what I don't want. I don't want the husband giving them any advice. Why? Because if you're giving advice now when I'm doing it, then clearly if you did know the right answer, because most of them they don't. But if you clearly did know the right answer and you never said anything for the last 30 years of your marriage, then get the fuck out of my class. You don't need to be here anyway. You know, like, come on. You're now divulging this sacred information, if it was correct, after 30 years of marriage, because I brought it up. Now you want to be looked like the good guy too. And you're like, oh yeah, let me tell you about this. And you're like, no, no, no. You don't get your chance now. You had it for the last 29 years, 11 months, you know, and 30 days. Today's my day. So we do talk about a lot about that. She was really like, wow, like smart, you know, and I told her. And so I walked out to the car and I showed her how she should be loading her groceries, you know, into her car with her, keeping her head up, you know, keeping her head in the game. And it's always putting the cart, you know, using the shopping cart as a barrier between you and possible threat. You know, it gives you some time and distance to make a decision. You know, how put your purse in the car, do this, don't do this. You know, keep, because a lot of people,
in case
if you want
the summit talks between us. Down. And just this morning, Pentagon spokesman Colonel Rob Manning said the Pentagon.
All right, go ahead.
But it's just the changing your habits, the way you carry your purse, the way you walk, the way you look, perceive things when you get out of your car, when you get in your car, what are you looking for, how do you get, you know, and do these types of things. As we know now, most modern cars, as soon as some cars, the locks will engage as soon as I start the motor, right? Or some will lock as I start getting up to speed, they'll lock.
Right.
Others will, yeah, and so, you know, and I tell them, if you have a car like this, you got to know that your locks are not engaged, or right when you put the car in park, they may come out, and you don't want them on, you know? And so, it really is. I mean, we talk about everything when it comes to personal safety. And personal safety is 21 feet,
whoa,
right?
Why 21 feet? By 21, why not 20?
Because 21 feet, at 22 feet, if I have a gun and you have a knife, at 22 feet, I have a chance to shoot you. At 21 feet it in, you will stab me every time. No matter how fast I am. Because you can close the distance at 21 feet faster than I can get a gun up.
20.
So at 22 feet, 21 feet, man, is survival, is life. Were you looking it up?
No, it's that sobering when you think of that it's been proven that if they're within 21 feet of you, that's 7 steps, right? About 7 steps.
Yeah, 7 steps. Yeah. And if you look it up, there's actually, and it's always been, it's called the 21 foot rule. It's trying to edged weapons versus 21 foot valid. You know, so people go up, 21 foot has been dangerously corrupt when properly understood. 20 foot rule is still valid in certain limited circumstances. For many officers in search, 21 direction and gap is not sufficient. Okay, so, and I hate when these people do this, when they're like, here's the mission. Some officer, apparently some trainers, will say streamline 20 foot rule. Okay, yeah, what we're talking about is it's a guideline, you guys that are writing these articles. Like, it's not correct, but it's a guideline, you know? Start with 21 feet, and if 21 feet is still not enough, then go to 28 feet. But it is, well within 21 feet, you have no time to react. At least with 21 feet, you have some type of reaction time.
You know,
if you have a knife or a mace or a taser, you can at least get it out and maybe employ it. But at 20 feet and in, you have no chance.
It reminds.
Yes, I know it takes training.
But it reminds me of cooking, right? Here's the recipe. You tweak it as you need to tweak it to make it, but this is the recipe. And I'm with you. I hate when people like act like the premise is invalid because for them they believe it's 22, you know, and 3/4 feet. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's what it is for you. I got it because you're.
Well, they demonstrated it using, right. You know, that 21 feet. But the point being, people, right. is that 20 feet, 11 inches, you have no chance of survival. At 21 feet, you have some. Even if it's a percent. If I say,
well,
hey,
here's your choices, zero or one. It's not that you have no chance of survival. Your survival is now dependent on your ability to fight.
Yeah, hand to hand.
Hand to hand. That's what you're going to be engaged inside that radius. You're going to be engaged in a hand to hand struggle.
But like I said, at 21 feet or greater, you may injure him as he comes into you because you employed something. But he's now engaged in the hand-to-hand. But now he's got, you know, he's fighting against some type of injury or he's slower or you incapacitated some portion of him. So.
Interesting. Interesting. Here's an email. Final one. Hey, is there any classier person that's been thrown into the public eye better than Kate Middleton? She had her third baby. I've attached a picture of she, her husband, and the baby today. She steps into that shit show of a royal family and seems to handle it with ease. I recall seeing her with her husband and her brother-in-law talking about mental health, not only related to combat, but also the loss of their mother. She was awesome in that thing. If you've never seen it, I would encourage everybody who is either interested or affected by post-traumatic stress to watch what those two young men did and her contribution to it. Congratulations to Kate Middleton. Yeah,
okay.
She's pretty.
Well, can I say something?
Yeah, she's pretty. She's, does it right, I think.
Can I say something?
Yeah. Who cares? Yeah.
Okay. Was that a woman that sent that to you?
No, a man.
Okay. First of all, rule number one. We don't talk about the royal family. You know why?
Why?
We fought against that in the Revolutionary War and in the War of 1812 to free us from the tyranny of that monarchy. Okay? Second, they're a shit show. They're an ancestral. If you look at how royal families marry brothers and cousins and everything else, it's an ancestral shit show. And two, they're British. Since when do we care about anything the Brits do?
You know,
like the French.
Mike, can I tell you something?
Yeah.
You have a little bit too much anger in you. If you want to live longer, you need to let some of that go, bro.
Here he goes, the bro again. I'm not a bro. Yeah. And just so everybody knows, I said that to Mac before we got on the show. I was like, dude, I saw your emails this weekend, bro. And they were a little hostile.
You need to relax if you want to live longer. And then he goes off on the royal family. But just for the record, that's the first time incest has ever been used on this program. Okay?
But is it's true.
What does that have to do with Kate Middleton? She's a nice woman. She has three kids. She seems like she's like a normal human being and handles that kind of celebrity, as stupid as it is, pretty well. And she had a son. So congratulations to Kate Middleton. Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't.
And you, And you,
I hate it when we cover the royal family.
All of a sudden, we didn't cover the royal family. The guy just made the point, and then he linked it to...
We're covering it right now. Then we're still talking about it.
Then he linked it to post-traumatic stress and the video those two guys did, and he said it was a good deal.
We're covering it.
Oh,
here's... We're still talking about it.
You need to let it go, man. Let the hate go, Mike.
I hate the royal family.
Okay, final question. How about Macron bringing Trump a sapling from Bella Wood near the head of the Devil Dog fountain?
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, Macron just went to the top of the list. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Is he quitting dipping because of his anger? Because it just flashed right there. Dude, have a dip. Relax, man. Lay out the royal family. Okay, let it go. Be happy. Life's too short.
Yeah. No, that's cool, man.
Oh, man.
That's real cool.
So this your little diatribe had nothing to do with that you stopped dipping. That was just you being you.
No, I probably had a little bit to do.
I respect
that. Going to, man, for the next couple of days.
I love that.
Hey, when you get a chance, yeah. I want you to look at...
Okay.
It's a new handgun.
Okay. What is it?
And it's called the Chippa, Chippa firearm. That's the company. Chippa firearms. But it's the Rhino 30DS is the model. And the reason I'm trying to look this up is because we had this conversation before where when you buy a gun, you want to make sure when you're holding your hand that the lower the barrel is to the in line with
yeah,
the wrist because
yeah.
it's the height of bore over the, yeah.
Right, right.
So you get less recoil.
Right.
This actually is one of the first modern revolvers that the barrel fires off the bottom cylinder,
yeah,
not the top cylinder. So it's actually in line down the middle of your wrist. I want to get one just to shoot it now, just to see the difference, because I know it's going to be crazy better to shoot. But it's and they're completely out of stock because I called the company this morning.
And it's Chippa, as in I want to say Chippewa, Chippa firearm Rhino 30DS, as in Delta Sierra.
Yeah, that's the model number.
Wow.
It's not that heavy. It weighs in at 27 ounces. 357 Magnum, 6 rounds.
The trigger...
And, you know, 357 Magnum is a
yeah.
beast to shoot to sometimes, you know.
So I'm looking at a picture of it, Mike, and the trigger mechanism must be interesting because the trigger, the hammer, is still where we would normally associate a hammer with, and it must function, you know,
yeah.
south.
But it goes probably down, yeah.
Yeah.
Remember, the hammer, yeah, it's going to release, you yeah. know, but the barrel, if you look at it, the barrel's on the bottom. It fires the bottom cylinder.
It's crazy looking, too. It reminds me a little bit, because it's pretty space-age looking.
It reminds me
some
of
the pictures are.
Of a Blade Runner gun.
It reminds me of that .45 made out of the Meteor.
Or, no, it reminds me of something that like in the movie Blade Runner.
it's crazy looking. They have they have some traditional
so,
looking stuff.
Look
but,
at the web. Look ooh. On the back strap of
that.
the pistol. Are you looking at the back strap?
No, I'm looking at
hey, look at the back strap.
Hard charging rhinos, and it has a rail system. Yeah, pretty interesting.
Yeah, but look at the back strap. Where you would put your pistol, where you'd be holding it,
right.
Your webbing of your top of between your thumb and your forefinger would be right in that strap.
Right.
So if you're looking at your hand, then that means the barrel is in line with the wrist. I mean, it's like right below the wrist.
Right.
It's going to be. I'm definitely going to get one once they get back on.
Once you get over, once you detox and get your bearings about you, you're going to get one. How much do they run? Check out the price?
Yeah, they're just about a grand.
What's a charging rhino?
What?
It says charging
a
rhino.
Charging rhino is a rhino that's running towards you. What do you mean?
Oh, it's Choppa Firearms Rhino. It's one of the brands, Charging Rhino.
Oh.
I don't know if that was some kind of...
Oh, it's a longer barrel. Yeah. That looks cool, too, dude. I didn't go to the website. I'm looking at a magazine.
Yeah, they have
That thing.
Yeah, they have
a longer barrel?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm getting one of those.
Why wouldn't you get both? I mean, they're... I mean...
No, I only get one of each. One kind. I like that. Dude.
Yeah,
I'm serious.
I don't know
I like
that's true, because with your Glocks, you have more than one of
those. Those are all different models, though.
And
don't own the same. I don't own the same model.
You threw that defense out there pretty quickly. Have you heard that criticism before?
Yeah.
Breaking news: Waffle House shooter escaped police chase days before the deadly rampage. The alleged waffle shooter, Travis Reinking, stole a BMW and managed to escape police after a chase days before he unleashed a hail of bullets at the Tennessee restaurant. Police revealed on Monday. Shit. Tell the gunner that thing blows. We have one on our range. We send it off all the time. Comes out of timing constantly. Whoa!
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's from a devil dog, too.
What?
Ah,
what do you mean they have it on their range?
That's from a... All right. Hey, Luke, send me a little rundown that I can forward to the gunner. Yeah, Luke's a Fallujah guy.
Luke said that they had one of those in the range?
No. Not our Luke, a different Luke.
Oh.
Yeah, he's a Fallujah guy.
And if they come out of timing, yeah, I mean, that's sad to hear, but... I mean, that's kind of hard to believe. I mean,
explain to everybody...
For a revolver to come out of timing.
Explain what you're on a range, it's shooting. How does it... It comes out of timing. What does that mean to somebody standing on the range?
It means that when you're pulling the trigger, when you're firing it, the cylinder is not moving the correct duration back into alignment, and so it's out of alignment. So thus, it's not going to fire.
Yeah.
You don't want it to fire if that cylinder is not in alignment.
That means it's pretty much a piece of shit.
If that's the case, man, like I said, I'm going to call him and I'm going to tell him, hey. I do this, and if you send me one for free, I will do this shoot, and I will put all these things. And actually, I'll put it through the paces, man. I'll tell them if it's a piece of shit or not.
All right. So, Luke, send me amplify in your email specifically what you find, and we'll send it to Mike, and we'll see if we can get everybody.
What the model is too?
Yeah, make a model, and. I think Luke's from. I think Luke lives in Alabama right now. So.
And I'll call him.
There you go. You got to.
I'll call the owner.
You got to hook Luke up too, though. Get him one if you get yourself one.
How can I do that, man? That's kind of crazy. I mean, I wouldn't keep it.
It doesn't matter how you do it.
I wouldn't keep it.
He just wrote back. I'll get a rundown of all the issues we've had. It's every couple of months we send it off to be fixed. Whoa. Mike, that's right up your alley. I can smell free pistol all over this thing.
Well, I don't want a free one. I just want to shoot it.
You just said you wanted a free one.
Well, I'll take a free one. I mean, I'll never pass down a free gun. Are you serious? I'm not stupid.
All right, what's left on the agenda today? You going to lunch? Normally, Monday's kind of a recovery day for you, yes?
Yeah, recovery day most of the time. We'll see. It'll be fun.
All right.
This guy's shooting him right now on the range.
And? Oh, I'm sure in the video. It always works in the video. Come on.
It's like, here's the people that are watching YouTube videos, right?
Right.
This guy is such a good pistol instructor. Why are the people shooting his guns still shooting with one eye closed? Some are still bladed. Their hand positions are all wrong. If you're going to be a YouTube gun instructor, you make sure that your students look good before you film them and then put it out there. because then it just makes you look like an ass fat.
And then people start making comments, blah, blah, blah.
The problem
blah,
with
blah.
YouTube is everybody's an expert, man. You get all of these people out there, and you get these guys that put shows together like, I'm going to go today and shoot 12 diet soda cans with my gun. Like,
dude.
Okay, well, dude, good luck. I mean, and people tune into that, you know, idiots. Let's shoot a block of ice with the 12 gauge and see what happens. Who gives a shit? Really?
Well, if you ever done
you know?
That stuff.
I so mean, if a block of ice ever attacks you or costs you in the parking lot, now you'll know what double odd buck will do to that accosting block of ice.
Hey, and let me just tell you, it'll jack it up too. Double odd buck
yeah.
and a block of ice. The it's kind of interesting. A friend of mine posted a picture on Facebook, and of he had just gone shooting, and he had a pretty tight shot group, and it was mm-hmm. From center mast on the target. It was maybe in the four ring at about 7 o'clock. And so you had all these guys talking, oh, hey, if you don't do this and you trigger pull and blah, blah, blah. And I said, yo, bro, close enough. Now, if I was teaching you, I would say, see if you can do that after you've raised your pulse a little bit. See if you can do that after you've run a little bit. Blah, 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 blah,
mm-hmm.
blah. And then somebody emailed me, like, private commented me, like, hey, where do you find ranges where you can do that? So, Mike, I'll ask you. Because in North Dakota, it was easy, right? Farmers, you know, there's places that people shoot, you know.
Okay, I live in Texas. It's just as easy, dude.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So when you talk about, you know, you can't – when you go to a bench range – normally, people don't do that stuff, okay? So how do you find somebody to let you shoot if you're city folk?
You're screwed, man.
Yeah, you are screwed. You got to know a farmer.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never been in a situation. I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Meet a farmer who likes to shoot, be friends with him, and when he says, yeah, I got a range at my place, that should make every antenna on your body stand up. Could I come?
Yeah.
Could I come and shoot there? Sure, buddy. That's your ticket. And then you can do – you're shooting in the four ring. You're going to – you're okay. You're okay.
Well, so there – people were giving pointers on how to get that better?
Yeah.
Was that people were doing?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you did the right thing. You know what you should have said was good enough kills just as well.
It is. But, you know, it's amazing. You know, you could see people like, you could have this conversation between the four and the five ring and the three ring and blah, blah, blah. But you take every one of those people and you say, okay, look, you're going to start with your pistol here. Okay. You're going to run 25 yards. You're going to dive on your stomach. And then I want you to pop up in the kneeling position and shoot within 2 seconds of getting in the kneeling position. And they don't hit shit.
Right.
They empty the whole magazine. Bam, 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 bam. Like, yo, the watermelon that's not moving, it's like totally intact. Jeez, that was really hard. Yeah.
And like I said, in my way, I'm thinking is there was a way that, well, we used to talk as we'd throw this analogy out one time, and we'd throw a quarter and a dime out on the table. And we'd say, which is better? Just shot groups. If you're a quarter or a dime shooter. Right?
Oh.
And everybody looks at the dime and goes,
dime
well, the dime.
Dime shooter.
Yeah, dime shooter is way better. And I said, so you think that shooting a quarter is not as good. You know, you can actually get better. But if you look at the cost associated with, if you measure that out, it's so insignificant that it's just ridiculous. But the cost of time and the cost of equipment and the cost of ammunition that would take to get to be a dime shooter if you were a quarter shooter is just not worth it. For what benefit? I mean, in money terms, you just lost 15 cents. You know, so no one would ever take a dime over a quarter. But, you know, it's just everything about that whole mentality is, oh, you got to shoot. And if you're if you're shooting size of quarter groups, you don't have a problem. Oh, I want to get down to shooting the dime size. Well, you're stupid then.
Well, no, look, if you want to sit there with a bench and go through that whole drill, like, okay, got it. As you would say, to what end? To what end?
Yeah.
If you think that someday you might have to employ those skills, there's other challenges that you need to master. And,
yeah.
You're not going to be challenged on a bench, trust me, to get that shot group. And look, if you could just, as long as you're using a 45 and you got quality stopping power, just nick them, okay? That's all you got to do.
Stopping power. Here we go. Yeah. Stopping power.
I just had somebody email me. Mac, if you don't throw stopping power into this discussion, you don't have a testicle in your entire being. So I had to. I cannot allow that aggression to, like, go unchecked. So.
Go unchecked, yeah.
Sorry. But you know what? It is true. I mean, if you hit somebody, and look, try it. Go to find a farmer that has a range or a place where you can go, right? And just lay out your own little, just that stupid thing. I did that with my sons and my brother-in-law, and they were all amazed how little they couldn't hit anything. And how you really had to learn how to focus and concentrate. And it's different than just doing bench shooting and known distance shooting. It's different when your heart's thumping. And this is with nobody else even out there being a threat. You've got off of a static firing line and you've raised and you've gone into a dynamic situation. Oh, by the way, which is real life. And now you can't hit shit. Why is that? And it's pretty sobering for them. And it also makes it, you know, it raises the interest level in learning how to shoot.
Yeah.
I've learned kind of the basics, but obviously I just shit the bed when I tried to do it. Like, what do I do? And so I think it generally promotes interest in really learning how to shoot and whatnot. So anyway. All right, man. First of all, we're over. Thanks for the visit today.
Hey.
Chatty Cathy.
French president just landed.
My boy, man, I'm all about the French. I'm anti-German right now. The Germans are lame.
His wife's a pretty good-looking French girl, too.
Yeah, she dresses well. But the dude on the right with the belt that's just below his nipples, what's that about? Air Force Corporal?
I know.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Joint Base Andrews. Republique Française. Yeah, Macron.
And they're doing, like, the full blown out, man. They're making it look good. He's like, wow, this is a pretty good deal.
Yeah, no kidding. He, and his wife was just walking through all the members of the armed forces that are assembled there, the honor guard, the Rainbow Side Boys. And she just stopped at a Marine and said, is this the Marines? She was like, whoa.
Yeah, right.
Whoa, check that out. But let me tell you, Macron, this is no shit. He brought a sapling for the President of the United States from Belleau Wood that was growing near the Devil Dog Fountain. Even if I don't like the French, now I got to be down with them. I got to be like part French now. Vive la France.
Yeah.
Come on, man. You got to respect. You got to respect.
Look at that Marine, dude. The holding the French flag. Look how tall he is.
I know. We don't send our shrimps, man. If you're 5'2".
Jesus, man.
That
kid looks like he's 7 foot. Look at him.
Why do we do that?
He's taller than the rest of the color guard.
Why do we do that? Why do we do that?
Everybody sees that Marine. Everyone's that Marine taller. Because they like him all the same height, but the Marines like him just 1 inch taller. So everybody goes, man, that guy looks, look at that guy.
You know, if you missed it, and you've never seen such a thing. Colonel Wesley Fox was laid to rest last week, I think, in Arlington.
Yeah.
He passed away during the winter, and his family did not want to do the burial until the spring. So they did it last week. And you can imagine the Marine Corps rolls out its pageantry for a legend of the Marine Corps, as well it should. And there's one Marine that's standing there holding the Medal of Honor flag. So it's that powder blue with stars on it. And it was pretty windy. And that, Mike, how much strength does it take for that dude to hold it? And for like probably close to an hour, he held that thing.
Dude, that is an arm workout and a half to hold that thing in the wind. I mean, look at the Army guy right now holding the national anthem. He's being pulled to the right for the win.
Right.
And every once in a while when the gust hits, you'll see his whole body go, "Er." And that kid's probably a strong, look at him. He's going back and forth. "Er." And, man, that's tough to do. A normal person, that thing will just whip and take you for a ride.
On the ground. You'd be on the ground.
And remember, his feet are together, so he's not shoulder width apart, really got a firm grip. I mean, yeah. That takes a lot of upper body strength to hold on to that thing, man.
Yeah, and this kid, the Marine Corps put out a tweet about the commandant presided at the ceremony, and so it made me think of Barney Barnum, who's been on the program a couple times, who was a captain in Vietnam who shot the artillery for Captain Wesley Fox and Alpha 19 the night that of the action that led to him becoming a recipient of the Medal of Honor. But I watched it, and it's very cool, you know, the casket, you know, coming on a caisson, you know, much like Abraham Lincoln and John Kennedy's funeral, and coming to Arlington, the 8th and I guys all out there. Dan O'Donohue, there's John Broadmeadow. You can see guys that we know, friends of ours, there, as well as the commandant presiding and the entire Fox family. So if you check that out. In fact, I'll republish it on the All Marine Radio website. So anyway. All right, man.
All right, man.
Hold on. Wait. Yeah, shut up that shit. All right. So
what?
Nothing. That's it. I thought somebody had something for you, but they don't. Have a good one.
Go Sox.
Shut up with that. He thinks that's so funny. This is the guy who doesn't want to talk about baseball till September. And now that the Red Sox got off to a great start, yeah, we'll talk about it. Look, let me just explain the whole French thing. I've never been a fan of the French, but I've got to be a fan of the French now because Macron is down with the Marine Corps. Yeah, he could have brought any kind of gift. But he didn't. It's like, let me tell you, like, I don't know about the president of South Korea, that moon dude, right? But where's the first place that he went when he got to the United States? The National Museum of the Marine Corps. So I got to be down with Moon, too. He's an adjunct member of the tribe. Like, there's the tribe, and then there's people that aren't part of the tribe, but they're in a special class, okay? Macron is in that class. His wife's in that class, too, for different reasons. she's good-looking. So she's with him in that class. Moon is in it because his parents were up at the Chosin Reservoir, and they came out of North Korea with the 1st Marine Division, with the Blue Diamond, baby. That's righteous shit, okay? Now, let me tell you one that is in there that, like, when I saw it, it pissed me off. The Naval Academy football team. A few years ago, they slammed the Marine Corps emblem on their jersey. And I remember watching it going, what is that? So, you know, Army, Navy, who you're rooting for? I didn't go to Navy. Okay? And I know Marine Corps is the men's department in the Department of the Navy. We all know that, okay? And for those of you who have said that to a Marine, you know what response you've got. Yeah, we're a department. The men's department. Anyway, we love that. So the Naval Academy football team, once they put that emblem on the jersey, I got no choice now. I've got to be in with them. Even if I didn't want to root for them today, I got to be in with them. So, there's certain things that come with it. So, anyway. Thanks for listening. on a Monday. All Marine Radio continues. And again, if I... 400,000 download requests last year. 3.5 million hits to the website. Don't be afraid to share it. And again, it's not me. I moderate it. But it's guys like Mike that come on. Guys like Grant Newsham that come on. And they're no bullshit people. They've been around the world. They're not always right, but generally get pointed in the right direction relative to issues. Yeah. And from another friend who's on the other side of the planet. Yeah. Iran, Israel, start putting up the bleachers and making the popcorn because it's coming. The Israelis are not going to screw around with that shit. All right. This program repeats itself momentarily. Have a great Monday. All Marine Radio. Out. Hey, and one more thing. The reason I play this song is it's our responsibility to live the high life, all right? To get back, get our shit together, to get through the struggles we all have, and live the high life for our friends who didn't come back. It's how we honor them. Boom, bitches. Get after it. Out.